Welcome to the C3 Toronto podcast. We're so glad you're here. We're believing God is going to speak to you through this message today, right where you're at. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, thank you for the invitation. Thank you, Jessica. What a gift it is to be here in Toronto and see the fruit of their labor. And this is work. This is work. Like the work, ministry is work. And they're not afraid of work. They've done the work. And I just really think that they're two of the finest, most anointed, most gifted, most sold out and surrendered couple that you'll ever meet. So when they ask you to do the same, just go ahead and do it because they've done it already. So I think it's important that you put your hands together for Sam and Jess. I always get treated so well when we come to Toronto, and they lead with excellence, and all the little details. I got picked up this morning from Luke, like this guy. Now, he only went through two red lights, but what I said, he said, let's not tell Sam, so nobody tell Sam that, okay? My first wife, Kelly, is back in Calgary. My only wife of 42 and a half years. And we have five kids and five and a half grandkids and lots of spiritual kids. Sam and Jess are our favorites. So, well, they all are, but you know, we're here. So, my wife and I are we're so different. I was just telling that to Luke when we were driving through the red lights. I said, if a lot doesn't make sense to me, I think it's kind of okay to just go ahead and, you know, ignore it. My wife is absolutely the opposite. And so when she was away a couple of weeks ago, and I'm driving myself, and there was a road, it's a, you know, divided road in a community, and they blocked one side off, and they wanted you to turn around and go back, but I saw there's another whole lane right there that you could just, if you went fast enough. And what I thought I'd do is I just go, well, Kelly's not here, so I'll just go over in the other lane. Well, I met someone at the other end before I got through, and there was enough room for us, this beautiful Mercedes SUV, and the lady gave me the universal sign for disapproval. And when I was going by, I realized she was from our church. So I just... True story. Like all, most of them are. But anyway, my wife sends her greetings. They only have one service back in Toronto. And my daughter and son-in-law lead the location in downtown Calgary. So if anybody's ever in Calgary, downtown or out west, we're on the way to Banff, about a kilometer outside of town. And so you're always welcome to be there. So thank you so much for inviting me here today. I want to share some thoughts in this service on, we have decided to entitle this The Father's Blessing, me and the sound people back there. And so what I want to do is I want to minister a word to you all, if you're willing to receive it. And I wonder sometimes, I'm going to share a little bit about some of my experience. And Sam is a phenomenal preacher of the gospel, and so I thought I would do something a little bit more old geezer style and talk about the Father. And so I want you to just take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 27. We all have this in common. We all have fathers. Question is, have we been fathered? Father is both a noun and a verb. And to be a father really requires like average blood pressure and a decent sperm count. But to father for a lifetime will take your life. And your willingness to let go of your life so you can find life is the invitation of being a father. And Jesus instructed us in the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer, I think, is John 17. But the model prayer, he says, when you pray, say, Our Father. And so if I were to ask you to describe your father, some of you may even say, which one? Because at different seasons in life, he was different. He may have been very present when you were younger, but then as he went through some different stages of his life, he maybe removed himself emotionally from you, or maybe he was silent, maybe, you know, dropped downstairs and was a gamer, or maybe he, I don't know, ended up with some sort of addiction of some sort, or, and you might say, like, which dad? Because what I remember him as a little person, he was so present, and later on, and then the result was that when you would use that phrase in prayer, Our Father, some of you, might be very uncomfortable with that, because maybe your father didn't even like you coming to him with questions. And so the invitation, I believe, today is that we would have a fresh experience of God as our perfect father, because there was only really one perfect father. And I think that many activities in our life, some of the motivation behind it might be still seeking for the affirmation of your father. You may not even know it, but you're just trying, why do I really want to, you know, get double PhDs, and I don't know, but it could be that you have missed out on some words from your father that could have calmed your heart down. And so we're told, when I speak of the Father's blessing, the Father's blessing for me would be the covenantal transfer of the favor of God to the future of every child. And I think it has like three or four different pieces to it. I'm going to refer to Genesis 27. It refers to personal touch. It says he laid his hands on the sons, on Jacob and Esau. They were wrestling over the blessing. I don't understand why he only had one, other than it might have been the first child blessing, or I don't know. But if we're not living under the Father's blessing, what are we living under? The absence of his blessing, which leaves us somewhat confused, perhaps. And so the passage I want to read from Genesis chapter 27 might be a cry in your heart, as soon as, because Esau and Jacob, like they were, Esau got tricked out of the blessing. And as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me, also, oh my father. What if in your heart and mind, we are constantly, like Esau, seeking the Father's blessing, hearing his words of affirmation, hearing his words of encouragement, rather than looking other places for them? If we miss them, we probably are looking other places, because we really do need our Father's words. And I think that there is sort of a father-shaped vacuum inside each child. And I think that there's, in every father's heart, there's a shape of every child that the Lord gives to us. And so, if you look at the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, we're told that actually hearts are able to turn. And that's the invitation for you this morning. Verse 5 and 6, these are the last words of the Old Testament. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. The NIV says a curse, which I am going to define as simply the absence of the blessing. It's a void or a vacuum. So he says, I'm going to send you Elijah. The question might be, well, didn't he send Elijah already? The answer was yes, he has. But he said, I'm going to send the something, maybe not the person Elijah, but the spirit of Elijah. And before I come again, he said, there's going to be an opportunity for sons and daughters to turn their hearts back to the perfect father. The question is, are you willing to let your heart turn this morning? Bible says your heart can turn. I'm not quite sure how that works, other than I know it's a personal choice of ours, act of our volition, where in this case, our best I assume that our best understanding of what a father is like is based on what our earthly father was like. And if our earthly father, things happen with our earthly father that was problematic, it's quite likely that you brought that experience to the experience of your heavenly father. And so when he says, when you pray, come to me like a father, maybe some of you are pretty uncomfortable with that. But the invitation is to allow your heart to turn to the perfect father, not to your earthly father, even if he's not around anymore. You may still be living with some of these issues that are unresolved in your heart because our lives are limited to the things that we're unable to get past. And why are we, so we're told in the disciples' prayer that we're to forgive others as forgive as we have been forgiven. Biggest word in the New Testament, as. So how we've been forgiven? We've been forgiven completely. So why do we forgive? So that we can go free, so that we're not attached to and bring forward issues from our past. So it's quite an interesting thought that our hearts are able to turn. So if they can turn one way, they can turn another way. So if your heart's turned away from your earthly father or your heavenly father, the chances are, or the invitation is, that you can turn your heart back. So that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to be willing to turn our hearts back. I remember as a boy, a young boy, back in the farm in northern Saskatchewan, spending great, like lots of time with my dad. And my dad was very present, but there's always so much work to do in the farm. The only time I had time with dad was when we were working together. So you want to know what happens to me now? Of course, you grow up seeing that, so that's what you do. So the best time for me with my son or my daughters was doing something. Let's go build a fence. Let's go do something together. Because the only model or template that I had. And so before my dad passed away, I went to his bedside and I asked him a question. It might seem like a simple question to you, but it was a huge question to me that had never been answered in my life. I said, Dad, are you proud of me? He said, well, of course I'm proud of you. I said, well, it would have been nice if you would have said so. But for most of us, it is not likely the words that were spoken that hurt us, but the words that were unspoken that leave questions still in our souls. And so as I left the hospital room that day, I did ask the Lord, like, why was that so hard? Why couldn't he have said that? And I felt the Father say to me, it's because he's never heard it. And so it's quite likely that we're living with the expectation or the hope that our fathers would say something that they've never heard. So when I come across people that easily are able to say, my son says it to me in a very, like, almost too much, because it was a little bit unfamiliar for me to hear that I was loved. Love you, Dad. And I go, yeah, well, I love you too. But because it wasn't spoken to me, it's difficult for me to repeat something I hadn't heard. And so in the case, of my dad anyway, I liken that to the time when God the Father speaks over his son and he says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. The Message version says, the pride of my life. So I baptized my son and all my kids. I said, you are the pride of my life. They never need to wonder whether I'm proud of them or not because they've heard it. I mean, words are only go so far. You need to put some action behind it as well. But I heard a fellow a few years ago, his name is Bill Johnson, has a little church in Redding, California. And he said, I read through the New Testament one year with one question in mind. And so he said, I asked this question at the top of my journal as I was reading the New Testament. And the question was this, why did Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, come to earth? And he said, when I finished the New Testament, the answer surprised me. Because what stood out to me as why Jesus came was to reveal the Father. And Jesus would say in John 20, verse 21, for you and I now, as the Father has sent me to reveal the Father, now I'm sending you to reveal the Father. It becomes a commission and a mandate on our life. How are we doing with that? He said one of the roles of a father would be to affirm identity. And the doctors that I have spoken to, and I'm open for correction here, but two of them that I spoke to had said that It's the father that determines the gender of the child. If you have not heard, this is my son. You are my son. I just want to emphasize this enough, or that you are my daughter. The pride of my life, the joy of my heart. And along with that, you kind of would fill in the blank that you are part of a family, that you have a history, and that well, actually, that's what this is, your script, scripture, your script for life, your part, this is your family history if you are in Christ. So we know that one of the purposes that Jesus came to the earth was to forgive sin, bore the sin of mankind. We know that. But what if the invitation to forgive sin was so that we could come home to a father? I wonder. The story of boys is that every boy needs the active intervention of his father as well as the company of good men. This is because masculinity is bestowed and transferred. Boys learn who they are and what they're made of from their father and a company of men. It's not learned or imparted from a woman or in isolation. And for a girl, every little girl needs the affirmation and attention of a dominant male that is good and kind. And maybe that's not been your experience, but this morning the Father will reverse that lie in your heart if you'll let your heart turn. Fatherlessness is a crisis in our culture. The Bible does call it a curse. And maybe it's because 90% of runaways come from fatherless homes. Because 85% of behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicide and 71% of teenage pregnancies. 85% of youth that are in prison come from fatherless homes. If your home was fatherless or absent from a father's love and affection and words and safe touch, if that was absent, you're 10 times more likely to use drugs, 4 times more likely to live in poverty, and 14 times more likely to commit rape. Those are not my statistics. Fathering is a frightening sort of a thing because if we, and none of us are perfect, and we come from homes that were not perfect, I want to submit to you, I believe that most, if not all, of your fathers did the best that they could, but they were fathered by broken dads as well. It's one of the things I regret as, one of my greatest joys and deepest regrets comes in being a father. But I neglected. While raising my son, I thought the goal was to just raise a son, but the fact was I was raising a father. I was raising a husband. I wasn't just raising a little girl. I was raising a future mom and a future wife. We are raising kings and queens. Knowing destiny is an important part of fathers. Fathering, I think, has sort of 4 seasons. Between the ages of 0 and 5, what your kids need most, I'm told, is nurture. Basic trust is learned before the age of 3, I'm told. It's just people that talk to me. I don't know. No. I think that's validatable. Between the ages of 6 to 12, what our kids need is a lawgiver. So what's right and what's wrong? But don't try telling them what's right and wrong after 12. That's no longer our role. We effectively, for me anyway, you quit parenting at about 12. After age 12, from 13 to 20, you become a coach. And from 20 on, you become a mentor. Maybe your dad was good in one of those seasons, but it's highly unlikely that all of our dads were good in all of them, which is why we need the house of God to be refathered and pointed back to the everlasting Father. So what a thing, that God would call himself the everlasting Father. We're comfortable with some of the other names, but that one, it's a... perhaps becomes a bit problematic. We need different things in different seasons of our life. I think that fathers speak identity. I think that there's the passage in Romans that says that something takes place in our heart when we come back to the Father, where we're called back into a place of intimacy. Verse 15 of Romans chapter 8 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we call Daddy, Abba, Father, intimacy and authority." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. A father, if you are not in right relationship, let me speak on a physical basis, and not in right relationship, you may not receive the inheritance, am I right? So there's the physical and that you see, and then there's the unseen. Still real. Lots going on here you can't see, am I right? Light spectrum's pretty short. There's things in here you can't hear because we only hear between 20 hertz and 20,000 hertz. But there's more sounds in here. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that there's an invisible part of us that's more real than the physical part of us. Because we are spirit, soul, and body, two-thirds of us is eternal and unseen, and one-third is seen. We spend an awful lot of time on the seen part. Fathers speak identity, and the words, creative forces speaking into the lives of our kids, affirming identity, connection and closeness, direction and inheritance. Question I have for you is, did your dad, did he? Problem likely was that he was not given that himself. So we let him go. I know I asked the Lord one day about what's the function of a father, and he told me really quickly four things: correction, protection, direction, and connection. Bible says that if you haven't been corrected by a loving father, you'll feel unloved. That seems mysterious to me. My mom broke so many wooden spoons on me as a boy. Did anybody have a mom that used a wooden spoon? You did. Is that your mom? So it always has been, let me just kind of go off script just for a second, but in the spiritual world, the role of a spiritual father is to bring correction on spiritual kids. How are you receiving correction? Because a spiritual child that trusts a spiritual father, when they receive correction, because it was a father's role to circumcise, to draw blood. But in the New Testament, you're meant to cut away fleshly parts. Sam and Jess were some of the, well, let me just say to Sam, he needed a lot of correcting, but he received it so well. My question to you is, are you able to receive some correction? If so, who can correct you? And if you say, well, anybody can correct me, or if you have someone that can correct you, how did you deal with the last time you were corrected? How'd that go with you? Because the spirit of a son knows. Oh, I meet so many young men that want to be in ministry, but they don't want to be corrected. So they'll come. So the difference between your leaders is they came teachable. But I'll see some where they've been involved in a house, another spiritual house, where the father was an abuser. And he not just circumcised, he cut everything off. So they were unable to reproduce. What they were meant to do was mirror and act exactly like him. That's spiritual abuse. We're to train up kids in the way they go. I felt that. So we're meant to remind them of who they are, to speak destiny over their lives, to remind them that they have an inheritance. Fathers have the power to reverse curses of illegitimacy. Where do I belong? We're told that we're to, two times in Scripture, to honor our mother and father might go well with us. And it could be that the place that's not going well with you is a place you have dishonored. Not because your mother and father were honorable, but because the honorable one lives in you. I'm told in Deuteronomy that if I would honor my mother and father, three things would happen. The first one would be, it would go well with, no, let me, oh, did I write it down? Deuteronomy, Lord, would have been good. Three things, that you might live long. Did you know the long life is not just about diet and exercise? I'm not looking at anybody. I'm just pointing at everybody. Your diet is not just the things you eat, it's things you listen to. It's things you see. It's all going in. The biggest part of you is I can't see. So, okay, go ahead, bodily exercise profiteth a little. You know, resistance training. I just resist training. Where I was going someplace with this So Jesus would say this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. An orphan doesn't know where he came from, doesn't know where he's going, has to get all he can all he gets, sit on the can. Orphans hoard because they're not sure if there's any more around. But a son knows that there's endless amount of supply because we are receiving an inheritance. Your inheritance and mine in Christ can't be touched. Did you know that? It's out of reach. You can't mess with it. But you can mess up not receiving it. You need to be right related to receive your inheritance. As my daughters were getting older, and my first daughter, she began to develop as a bloom and blossom, and we were always very snuggly and very close. But something happened right around 12. Her body started to change. And her dad didn't quite know what to do with it. So when she needed to be affirmed by a dominant male, a safe dominant male, I didn't know what to do. And my insecurities caused her to wonder if it was okay for her to become a woman or not. So when she pushed me away, I'm really not very proud of this season of my life. But when she pushed me away, I thought, okay, I'm off the hook. So I just went for a walk to pray for her, which was really an act of cowardness and passivity. And the Lord said to me, as best I could understand what he was saying, is that what she wants you to do right now is to fight for her, otherwise she has to fight for herself. A little girl needs to know that they're worth being fought for. Pardon me, I still feel it. That they're worth fighting for. This is every woman's hope and every daughter's dream. That when their dad, who's meant to be the warrior, not just fights, but stands and doesn't leave in the face of responsibility or battle, even if he's unsure of it himself. The spirit of Elijah, if I understand it rightly, it's formed in the wilderness. It's fashioned in the desert where he's alone with the Lord and has to go to the Lord and say, unless you help me in this season, I won't know what to do. Fathers are not shaped in pulpits and paraded around and with titles. It comes out of a place of desperation where we have to be refathered by the Heavenly Father. We're told in Psalm chapter 68 that he would be a father to the fatherless. That's why I'm here this morning. Psalm 78 says, tell the stories. Deuteronomy 29 verse 29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, but those things that are revealed belongs to you and your children. The role of a father is to take the revelations that he's learned in his life, sit his kids down, look them in the eyes, and say, maybe you're feeling like that's a pretty big mountain, but let me tell you about the mountain that your God moved for me one day. He still makes pathways through seas. He still parts water. He still moves mountains. Sonny, if you ever get into a bind, he'll always make a way of escape. He needs to hear those words, those stories from his father. Where did you go with your questions? I'll tell you the story in Luke chapter 15, and it's a story that we all should look at over and over again and write out, because there's four different people here, from which person is it coming from? But I believe this is not really the story of the prodigal sons. It's the story of the father's heart, and it reveals what the father's like. And it says, to illustrate his point, he told the story of one of his sons who said, Dad, I want my inheritance now. So he divided up his property or his wealth. That word in the Greek New Testament for wealth or property is the word bios. What did I tell you earlier? In order to be a father, it's going to take your life. The word bios is life. He gave his boys his life. And when the prodigal takes off, P1, because P2 is here too, in the house, didn't have his father's heart. Broke his dad's heart. When a son or a daughter leaves, they need their dad to keep fighting for them. And it says that the father was filled with love and compassion. When our kids do things we don't agree with, you get back on your knees and fight like a man and ask for love and compassion. So it says that he wasted his inheritance on, it doesn't say this, but it implies this, on cheap whores and high-stakes poker. And the result was, he was so separated from his dad, but here's one thing that his heart began to turn. His heart started to turn, and he says he came to his senses, and he turned his heart back. It says he said, I'll just go back to my dad, because there's one thing I know about my dad, that he's always got food in his house. Some of you wondered, will my heavenly daddy provide? You need a revelation of your everlasting father that's got more than enough in his house. So it says that he turned his heart towards home and back to his dad's, because I know dad's got more than enough. And as he was coming to his senses, began to turn back, he says, I'm going to be a slave. My Bible says that he hasn't given us a spirit of slavery, but of sonship. So he says, what I'll do, I'm not worthy to be called his son, because fathers have the power to reverse shame on sons and daughters' lives. And he came back, and as he was coming back, he had this little sermonette rehearsed. And his dad, filled with love and compassion, starts running towards his son. Why? Because he's waiting for daughters and sons to come home. And the message is, it's safe to come home, because you've got a heavenly daddy that's waiting for you. One of the greatest pains of my life is not being able to provide for my kids enough. I wanted everything for them. The heart of a father always wants to give. We're told in Matthew chapter 7, because we wonder in our mind, does he really want to provide for me? He said, well, you fathers, if your kids ask for bread, you don't give them a stone. When he asks for fish, you don't give them a scorpion. No well-adjusted dad would ever do that. And he says, so if you being evil, because this is a question in a heart that's not been turned yet, you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more, no, he just wants me to get by. No, you don't know the heart of the father. How much more? So the dad, he comes home and he said, I'm not going to let you give that speech on how filled with shame you are. I'm going to reverse that before you get to say it. Because honestly, that doesn't, for the father, he knows where you've been. This is no surprise for him. But this morning, will you turn your heart back, because it's safe for you to come home? He's been waiting. I don't know what you've been through. I'm sorry for what you've been through. Oh, well, life's tough. It's time to come home. I want to pray for some people at this service. You know what I want to pray for specifically? I want to pray for people, anybody here that has cancer. I've been healed of cancer, and I have the authority to pray over you for cancer. If there's anybody here that has cancer, I hate that word. I'm just like a rabid feral dog when I hear that C word. Tear it down. It's as much a mental thing as it is a physical thing. If you're here and you have cancer today in your body, I'm cancer-free. My oncologist, I said, can I tell people I'm cancer-free? He said, absolutely. You tell me you're completely cancer-free. I can't. This is what my heavenly daddy wants. This, how much more? And he healed them all. Okay. He runs towards him, takes his signet ring off. This is like giving him the Platinum American Express card. Puts a robe on him, because a father's meant to cover their kids with garments of praise. If you haven't heard words of praise from your earthly daddy, you'll look every place else looking for praise, including, apparently, I don't know what TikTok is, but we look for affirmation on social media and stuff. I asked my kids the other day, I said, what's fans only anyway? And they said, Dad, it's only fans. Said, you guys know what that is? I don't know what it is. No, guys. Kelvin, welcome to the party. I need you to loosen up just a little bit because we're coming down the back stretch, and I'm going to declare the Father's blessing over you. If your heart's interested in turning today, your heavenly daddy loves to provide. There's unlimited food in his house. He loves to provide. Fathers are warriors. They use words to reverse curses. There should be some place where you take your questions. I'm told that children ask 125 questions a day. Adults ask six. Somewhere between childhood and adulthood, we lose 119 questions. Jesus asked 307 questions. He was asked 307 questions. He asked 307 questions. He was asked 187. I think he answered three. There should be some place you can take your questions. I'm just gonna invite you in just a second. To consider letting that invisible, mystical part of you known as your heart to turn towards the Heavenly Father. And He will use my words to help direct that, but it's your decision to make, and I won't impose my will on you at all. We're told in Proverbs that we're meant to protect our heart, and some of you have overprotected your heart, and the result is you've hardened your heart. Today He's inviting you to soften your heart and hear the Father's voice one more time. Father's saying to you all today, it's safe, you're safe to come home. I'm sorry for words that weren't spoken over you that you long to hear. Maybe I'll say them this morning. If so, receive them from the Father, if you would please. Would you all just stand with me in a posture of receptivity? The Father's blessing, it's the covenantal transfer of the favor of God for the future of every child. Lord, these next few moments, I just ask that you'd allow these hearts here to turn. If you want to, you can put your hand on your heart. This is about a 3-minute thing. On behalf of your fathers, the first thing I want to do is ask that you'd forgive us for not guarding your hearts or speaking words over your life like a true warrior father should have. Forgive us, fathers, for not speaking destiny and blessing and courage in life when you needed to hear it most. I'm so sorry. I was silent when I needed to speak up, and you didn't know where to take your questions. I wasn't there, and I was so sorry. Forgive us as fathers for not being there to answer your questions or to tell you the stories to affirm your identity that connected you to our family, our home, and our heart. You do have a place in this world, and today I ask that you release us as fathers from our failures and passivity when you needed to hear that you were welcomed and wanted and worthy of our love. Forgive us for the anger that rose in your heart because of our absence and silence and fear, and instead we left you on your own. I'm sorry. Forgive us for not protecting you and placing our shields of faith over you. We never even knew we had one. You were left vulnerable to the culture of criticism and comparison and the words of strangers when you needed my words of love and affirmation and encouragement. I never knew how to protect your heart or your dreams or your destiny, and I'm so sorry. Today I remove the lie that you're not worth fighting for, in Jesus' name. We fathers lacked courage, initiative, and bravery. It's our fault, and we're so sorry that you had to bear that alone. Forgive me as a father for withholding words of life out of my insecurities as a father, but today I reverse the unspoken words and replace them with words of life. You daughters are beautiful. You'll make gorgeous brides and wonderful moms. Start comparing yourself because there's no one like you. You sons, you are brave and bold and strong, good men. I speak the Father's blessing over you and identify you as a man. You are the son of a strong, courageous father. Young women, I ask that God would give you a revelation of your personal beauty, your precious and priceless, cherished, your pearl of great price. I would buy the whole field for you. You're worth fighting for. You always will be. You're unique and gifted and wonderfully made, and your body is perfectly formed and fashioned for your purpose on this earth. You bring great delight to a father's heart. Today I bless your life with purpose and power to live out your days with faith, hope, and love. I bless you and your life with courage. I bless your life with godly choices. I bless your passion, your life with passion to fulfill your desires. And I bless every one of your days with fruitfulness. I speak increase to your accomplishments, and may you prosper and be in health all the days of your life. Hear these words from a father's heart today. You are the pride of my life and our family. You are safe to be yourself and secure in our love.
I will carry you in my heart, and in you I am fully and completely pleased. You are the pride of my life and the joy of my heart. You are the child of a great king, a great warrior, the everlasting father. You are deeply loved, you are chosen, you are perfect, you are planned, you are precious. And today I remove the lies that you are not wanted or loved. Your heavenly father loves you and will never leave you and never forsake you. Let these words touch your heart deeply as you turn to the Father today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to pray for people that have cancer. All right? Thank you.
Let's give another round of applause for Pastor Lauren. Amazing message. I just want to just remain standing just for a second. You know, maybe you guys have a great relationship with your earthly father, but you don't have a relationship with your heavenly father. We're going to pray right now. So everyone just close your eyes and bow your heads. If there's anybody here who wants to take the rightful place as the son of the Almighty God, if you want to take your place as and worship him and invite Jesus into your heart, maybe you've done it before and you're coming back to him. Maybe this is your very first time. Would you just raise your hand? Won't embarrass anybody. Yep, I see you, sir. I see you. We just want to let you guys know that you're not alone. Yep, hand in the back. Anybody else up top in the back of the room? Amazing. So we're going to do this as a church together. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. I surrender my life to you. Wash me clean. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he went on the cross and died, and that he rose again. Help me to follow you for all of my life. In your name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to support this ministry, we invite you to give online. We'd love to see you on Sunday. Check out our website at c3toronto.com for online service times and how to get connected. And follow us on social media for real-time updates.